That was the weakest woo I have ever heard in my life. You think I ought to give you another opportunity? Okay. Let's open our Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6. Yeah, Lord, yeah, we're excited, Pastor, for the Word. Yeah. Told you, I preach to myself a lot. Ephesians chapter 6. If you found it, say, I found it. If you're looking for it, well, you're looking for it. I want to continue this morning to teach you on where we left off last week, talking about the whole armor of God. Say, the whole armor of God. Let's get right into it this morning. Verse 10. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 says, finally, or in light of all these things that he's already instructed us, he said, my brethren, be strong in the... There we go. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Now, I want to just stop there because I want to point out two things here before I really get going in this message this morning. That it tells us that we are to be strong in the Lord. And notice there is an and between and the power of His might. In other words, it's telling us that we could be strong in the Lord and not be strong in the power of His might. Or we might be strong in the power of His might and be weak in the power of the Lord. I'm talking to you this morning about putting on the whole armor of God. And it's very clear here when we talk about the power of the might, and that's what we talked basically about last week, that it's talking about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes in our life to bring the anointing of God. Acts 1:8 says, after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, you shall receive power. Power to be a witness to me. So, you know, the infilling and the baptism of the Holy Spirit, yeah, it's for us to have the power, but what is the power for? In other words, when we talk about the power of His might, we're talking about the anointing of God that comes on our life through the Holy Spirit. But do you realize that the main or the primary purpose for the Holy Spirit is really not for you personally? Well, it's for you personally, but not just for you to use for yourself. Now, everybody has to use it to get themselves to a place where they can be of use to God and to somebody else. So, in essence, the Holy Spirit is to empower us so God can use us in our gifts and in our callings, or use us to help other people. How many would like to get to a place in your spiritual life where you're not always needing help, but you've come to a place where you need little or less help, but you're always able to help somebody else? Okay, so that's the power of His might. But then again here, it's talking about, and this is what we're going to spend our time today, what does it mean to be strong in the Lord? Now, we use that term, strong in the Lord. We're talking about spiritual strength. We're talking about individual spiritual strength. Evidently, if we can be strong in the Lord, because that's what it's really inferring here, we can be weak in the Lord. If you can be strong in something, then evidently you can be weak in something. If you can be strong spiritually in the Lord, and that's what we are told and commanded to do, and that's part of putting on the armor of God, then evidently we can be weak in the Lord. Are you with me? Well, I'm going to give you today, I've got like 7 symptoms of weakness, or how to recognize what a spiritual weak Christian looks like. How many of you would like to know what a spiritual weak Christian looks like? I'm glad we had all the cheering and all the shouting a while ago, because I don't think I'm going to get much in this message this morning. But that's all right, because this is a time for you to examine. You know, If we saw an ad on TV, for example, how to recognize if our children was on drugs or using drugs. You ever seen one of those ads to give you symptoms or signs of how to recognize if your teenagers are on drugs? I mean, you know, they give you certain indicators that you can know as a parent if your children is acting abnormal in that area. Are you with me? Same for an alcoholic or any kind of addiction. There's signs that tell you that there's an abnormal life or there's something abnormal going on with that life. I mean, you know, you find paraphernalia around the house. You see introvertedness and you see isolation and, you know, little things missing and you know, you get on drugs, I mean, you'll steal from your grandma. Are you with me? So there's indicators, there's signs. And so the similar thing we can look and we can see from the Word of God. It can be seen and it can be recognized how we can observe and see whether we're spiritually weak or not, or how we can see if somebody else is spiritually weak or not. And I'm going to tell you something. It really doesn't matter how long you've been serving God. It really doesn't matter how long you've been a Christian. You might be in the choir. You might be in ministry. You might be a pastor. You might be, somebody that's been in the house of God for 20 years, and you can still be spiritually weak in the Lord. Because the first mistake that spiritual weak people make is they think or they say they know the Scripture. But there's a big difference between knowing the Scripture and knowing how to use the Scripture or the Scripture on the inside of you. In other words, Scripture can't just be in our heads. It's got to be in our hearts, because if it's in our hearts, then it can come out of our mouth. And faith resides in our heart so that it can be spoken out of our mouth so we can stand against the wiles of the devil. So here's number one. How many of you want to know what number one is? Here's number one on my hit parade list. I want you to turn to the book of Hebrews, chapter 10. We're looking at the first sign here that I'm going to give you is a sign of spiritual weakness. Hebrews chapter 10, look at verse 23. It says, "Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful." He said, "Let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works." Now look at verse 25. It says, "Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as it is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." Now here's the first evident or the first sign of somebody being spiritually weak in the Lord is that they start slacking off in church attendance. The first symptom of somebody that is growing weak in the Lord, it will begin to show up in their church attendance. You know, it tells us right here that as we approach the day of the coming of the Lord, that we are to go to church more, not less. How many of y'all see that right there in the Word of God? Just because you think that you are strong in knowing the Scriptures does not mean that you're strong in the Lord. You have to come and you have to ingest or take the Word into your life. One of the first things that you will see when somebody starts getting away from God and becoming, you know, spiritually weak is that they stop attending church regularly. In other words, they are not doing something that they once did. Now, some never get in the right track. And that's why, you know, don't look down the row and say, "Oops, this is me, Liz." Just start looking at your own self here, because you can identify whether it's you or whether it's somebody else, okay? And just keep looking straight and nobody will know that we're talking about you. But when you become spiritually weak, one of the first signs that will show up is that you start slacking off of attending church regularly. Or, you know, excuses become loud. In other words, we start finding excuses for not going to church. Are y'all with me? We, you know, it's too hot, or it's too cold, or it's raining, or so on and so forth. And so, you know, we start finding other reasons for not coming or attending church regularly. Now, if you're going to grow strong in the Lord, you're going to have a continually intake of someone feeding you the Word of God. Now, all of you single people, I mean, do we have any single people in here? Okay, now let me just stop here and inject this in too. Why in the world would you ever want to get yourself hooked up with somebody that doesn't go to church regularly? See, let me just tell you something. If that person, now I know I hear all kinds of tales, you know, oh yeah, but they're a Christian pastor, they love God. Oh, they do? Well, the basic thing in their life is missing, and that is they don't even go to church regularly. Why do you want to get yourself hooked up and associated with somebody that won't obey the basic principle of the church, and that's to assemble yourself together? Well, I don't know, Pat. Well, that's why I'm teaching you these things, okay? Because you're going, if you're a female and you're getting hooked up with somebody that don't want to go to church, but they say, well, I love God and I'm a Christian. Well, then why don't you obey the Word? Because you are doing something contrary to what the Word says. And if you hook up with that person and if you marry that person becomes your spiritual head. He becomes your spiritual covering in essence. And so if your head is weak and your covering is weak, guess what, folks? Your marriage is going to be weak. Your home is going to be weak. Are y'all out there this morning? I'm talking about how we can recognize whether we're spiritually weak or not. You know, why do we go to church? Why do we have a pastor? Because God gives the pastor a word, and a pastor is commanded by God to feed the flock of God. You are the sheep of God, and God gives the pastor the food to feed the sheep. So when you come to the house of God, listen to me, you can feed on the word of God that's being preached by your pastor. There's a reason, there's a purpose that we come to church. Not just so we can get ready and look pretty and look at each other and say, hey, who was here and who wasn't here? Are you with me? Okay. So the first sign of spiritual weakness, just like you could tell a drug addict or an alcoholic, you can see signs. When you see somebody that's not regular in church attendance, I can assure you that person is weak spiritually in the Lord. I didn't say they weren't saved. I said they were weak spiritually in the Lord. And when the day of the enemy comes, you will not have on the inside of you the ability, because you didn't put on the armor of God to stand against the wiles of the devil, and you will take on damage. Thank you for all that enthusiasm. Well, how about the second one? I mean, you can see, you know, just like you see, you know, if you had some needles around in one of your kids' room, and, you know, they were sneaking around, and you'd have some signs, right? Well, if you see somebody that's slacking off in church, you know that's a symptom, that's a sign that they're spiritually weak in the Lord. Amen. I'll say amen to myself. Now, let's go, you're right there in Hebrews, let's go to verse 35, and let's look at the second one here. Let's move right along here because of time. Look at verse 35. It says, therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great, say great, great reward, for you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. And then he goes on and says, and yet for a little while, and he who is coming will come, and will not tarry, and the just, say the just, shall live by faith. But if anyone draws back, my soul, God said, has no pleasure in him. God does not get pleasure out of those who draw back. So here's the second symptom. I hope you're writing these things down. But the second symptom for somebody that is lacking the strength or being strong spiritually is they start losing confidence in God. They start losing confidence in the Word of God. They stop losing what the Word has said God will do, and they start looking at the circumstances, or they start, you know, losing the enthusiasm instead of coming to church with an expectation that God is going to speak to me today, and that God, through my pastor or through prayer or through a word, God is going to give me today something that I need that will cause me to be able to go through whatever I'm going through. Are you with me? You start losing that enthusiasm. That's why I had them sing that, "The joy of the Lord is my strength." So you can get all that out of you so that you would settle down and listen this morning. Because when you start losing your confidence in the Lord, you start depending on the arm of the flesh. He says again in verse 38, he says, not only shall the just live by faith, but he said, if anyone draws back, he said, my soul gets no pleasure out of them. Drawing back is called backsliding. Say backsliding. Backsliding. See, backing up with God is not an option. Going backwards in God is not an option. God is always moving by His Spirit. And God only has one gear, and that's forward. If you're going backwards, then you are in reverse and you're going out. If you're not coming to church regularly, you're going out. If you lose your confidence in the Scripture, if you lose your confidence. Now here's what I hear, and you might want to write this down. Well, Pastor, you know, out there in the real world, are you telling me that the Word of God will not work in the real world? No, you ain't telling me that. Are you telling me the God that created the heaven and the earth and all of that natural world, you're telling me that the Word of God will not work in the real world? No, you're not telling me that. You can't tell me that, because God, who knows everything, God who is omnipotent, God who is all-powerful, God who is everywhere, God knows everything about everything. He's got the answer before you ever had the problem. We cannot lose our confidence in God, because whatever God said, see, God will come and He will give us a word, just like this morning, that He shall be the wisdom and the knowledge of God's Word will be the stability of our times. And we shall not be moved. Amen. We shall not be moved, because we have been rooted and grounded in the things of God. You can't, remember, you can't help yourself until you first admit you got a problem. Just like a drug addict, they will lie to you. They will tell, oh, me, no, I'm okay. See, the same thing about a spiritually weak person. They don't want to hear that they're spiritually weak. But somebody needs to tell them. Because the Bible says that if we stop assembling ourselves together, as it is the habit of many, then we're going to be primary targets for the enemy to come in these last days and knock us off. We're supposed to be able to stand against all the wiles of the devil. Are you with me? So that second symptom is that you begin to lose confidence in what God's Word has said. Now go to 1 Peter chapter 2, and let me show you the third one here, marching right along. 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2. Okay? It says, as newborn babes, or babies, just like we dedicated a while ago, desire the pure milk of the Word, that you may grow their body. Now, let me say this to you. Anybody, a person who does not get into the Word is going to be a spiritually weak Christian. We are to desire this word as a newborn babe. Now, how many of you have ever had a newborn baby? Now, I've been privileged lately to see some born right at the time, you know, they come out. And they come out screaming and and all that until you stick something in their mouth. And they learn that that is food. And boy, they don't care what time of the day it is. They don't care what time of the night it is. They don't care if you're breastfeeding and you've got 1,000 people around you. When they get hungry, they're going to scream and they're going to holler until you stick either the nipple or the in their mouth. Are you with me? It says we are supposed to be hungry. So here's the third symptom. Are you taking in a daily word of God? See, those who are spiritually weak people stop taking in a daily dose of the word of God. Peter's talking about here how our attitude should be. Our attitude should be that we should be just like that newborn baby. We should always be wanting to feed on the word of God. We know what Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And when we come in here, see, a mature person, a mature believer is going to be somebody that feeds themselves on the word. Because if we have little word intake, we're going to be spiritually weak. Could you imagine trying to raise up some of those young little babies and not giving them milk when they're hungry and not giving them the proper milk when they need it? Listen, you will have a baby that is weak, the immune system will be damaged, and they'll be susceptible to all kinds of things. Are you with me? So the Word of God is by its very nature designed to give a Christian strength, to nourish them. You need the Word every day. You need a daily intake of the Word in order to have success and to have victory in your life. Because you need to go to God every day to get a word, listen to me, for today. Because you will face some things today. You may not face them tomorrow. You may not face them next week. But you need a word from God today, because that is putting on your armor so that you can stand against whatever the enemy throws at you. It's like the children of Israel went and they took in that daily manna, see, for that day. Because, you know, tomorrow there'll be a different set of things. Next week, there'll be a different set of things. The Holy Spirit knows exactly what you need today. In fact, I want you to look at 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17, and let's read that right quick, because you come to church to get the Word, but you've got to also get the Word daily in your life and in your heart, because you don't come to church every day. Are you with me? Okay. He says, all Scripture, you know it, but look at it again. He says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it's profitable. Say profitable. For what? It's for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that a man of God may be complete. That word complete means to be mature, and it means to be strong. If you're going to be strong in the Lord, then the Word of God is going to rebuke you sometime. It's going to correct you sometime. It's going to put you in your place sometime. It's going to teach you. It's going to train you. You know why? Because you're going to need that Word in order to discipline your life, to be able to stand in faith when somebody, you get on your job and somebody, you know, at lunchtime says something to you that just doesn't set right. How many know you need a Word for that day so you can come out on the other side in victory? Are you working in sales and you find out one of your coworkers got one of your clients and stole your commission? You've got to have the Word daily for the things that you face today so that you can get through the day. And when you put your head on the pillow tonight, you know that you have the victory. A third symptom of somebody that is spiritually weak in the Lord is a person that will not feed themselves daily on the Word of God. And you're going to run into things every day. Maybe not every day, because, you know, you could be like Samson. You might be weak in the Lord, but you're playing Russian roulette with your life. You know what Russian roulette is, right? And you snap. You know, today, listen, today may not be a problem of life and death, but tomorrow might be. In other words, you might get by today without a daily intake of the Word, but what about tomorrow? You see, what about tomorrow when the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy? You follow what I'm saying? And so you have to take in a Word every day, because the Word that God will give you will line up, and that Word will be for you today. Amen. Here's the fourth one. I'm glad y'all are excited this morning. The fourth one is found in 1 Thessalonians. See, if you don't learn to take in the Word, you will revert back to the flesh. And you'll start responding just like somebody that's not even born again. Somebody gets mad and calls you something at the water cooler at work, you get mad and call them something back. Amen? The Word will cause you to work in victory. Now, turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and look at verse 17. Here's the fourth sign. How many have I given you so far? Three? Here's the fourth one. Here's what it says. It says, pray without ceasing. Now, here's the fourth symptom I want you to understand, and what you can tell if somebody's spiritually weak or not, is just like they don't have a daily intake of the Word, they don't have a daily prayer life. When you don't have a daily prayer life, now listen to me, I don't care who you are. If you don't have a daily prayer life, you're going to be a spiritually weak Christian. Everybody, just lift your head. You know, you don't have to look. We're not here to condemn ourselves. We're here to recognize. Because, you know, a drug addict, they don't want to acknowledge they got a problem. Amen. And we got some Christians that don't want to acknowledge they got problems. I'm not getting you to raise your hand. I mean, it's like I heard somebody talking this morning, David, Jeremiah, whoever's talking about, there was a pastor he knew, well known, that never told the people about sin because he never wanted to preach anything negative. Well, you know, if we don't learn what kills us, and we don't learn what hurts us, and what separates us from God for the sake of everybody laughing and smiling and leaving here, you know, on an upbeat. Now, we want to leave here on an upbeat, but bless God, we want to leave here blessed in the Lord, amen? We want to leave here not spiritual streakers. We want to leave here in the whole armor of God, so that we can stand against the wiles of the devil. Well, if I have a daily prayer life, now listen to this, it's the same as taking in the Word, because when I pray, now I can pray the Word. How many know the most effective prayer you can pray is praying the Word of God? If you don't have any Word operating in your life, well, you're not going to have a prayer filled with the Word of God. The Word will give you the right prayer, but the prayer will pray the Word, and then the Holy Spirit and the Word and the prayer all begin to line up. And so now you've got confidence, now you've got peace, now you've got, you know, this thing around you that just knows that everything's going to be all right. Are you with me? There's a tranquil spirit. Everything begins to work together. See, the Word works together with prayer, and prayer works together with the Word, and the Holy Spirit bring those two together so there can be alignment of an agreement. But if you're not a person of prayer, you're going to be a weak Christian. Amen? All right. So, let's find out what the fifth one is. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Just turn back. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Are you still with me? Okay. Now let me give you a couple of side issues here. If you don't do the first four, if you start slacking off of church and you start losing your confidence in what God's Word said, and you're not feeding yourself daily with the Word of God, and you're not daily in prayer, then there's going to be two little side effects here, which are really not little because they'll become major and they'll take you off track. The first thing, this side issue, is that you'll become critical. A spiritual person, well, let me say it this way. Somebody that is becoming weak spiritually becomes a critical person. In other words, all they see and all they do is to be critical and to criticize. When you are spiritually weak, all you want to do is be critical. Am I talking to anybody in here? That's one side of it. See, if you have no strength spiritually, then you don't feel right. You don't feel right. And everybody in the world knows you're hurting on the inside, but yet you can't help yourself because you're not spiritual. You criticize. And then the other thing, the other little side issue, if you don't have these first four, and you just check me out, we're talking about symptoms of somebody being spiritually weak, is that they will be a person that's easily offended. In other words, they will take an offense because they have no strength in themselves, so they think everybody's out to get them. You know, you come into church and somebody says, "Oh, I don't like your hair today." "What do you mean you don't like my hair today?" And you don't just get mad and leave because somebody don't like the way you parted your hair today or what you had on or something of that nature. Are you here? I mean, you just get all kind. You get critical and you get touchy, touchy, touchy. "Oh, touchy, why do they say that?" And you're just on the defense all the time. Hello. So, you know, the whole thing is that we get stronger and stronger and stronger in these things so that we put on the spiritual armor of God. When you put on the spiritual armor of God, you have a protection round about you that you can take the darts of the wicked one that is being shot against you. You won't succumb to everybody that says something ugly about you. You won't get uptight just because somebody said, "I don't like you." You won't get all offensive and touchy because somebody you thought is talking about you. Listen, it's just a matter of life. People are going to talk about you. Amen. You could even die and people talk about you. But when you learn, listen to me, when you learn to get in the Word and take a daily intake of the Word, when you sit under the preaching of the Word and the anointing of God's Word is going forth, when you pray and you come in here with expectation because you have confidence in the Lord, listen, you can stand because you've got spiritual armor on. I remember a couple of years ago, we had an armadillo in our yard. We lived out there at Progresso Lakes. I mean, he would just root and just dig up the... You'd go out there every morning, it looked like bombs that hit all over the yard. And I got up early one morning, just about daylight, and I saw that armadillo out there. Man, I said, "I'm going to get that sucker." I grabbed my 12-gauge shotgun, and I pumped that thing, and I went out there. I was about as far as here, Aaron, and I laid a beat on it. That armadillo had already turned. He saw me turning, and I shot. Bam! And that armadillo, bah! He rolled over like that, and he went, "Whoop, whoop, whoop," and just, yeah, just kept on going. Do you know why? Because they have an armor plate on. And I had dove shot. I had bird shot. And it knocked him over the force of the shot, but when he got knocked over, he just shook it off. Just took him off. Well, when you put on the armor of God and somebody takes a little old pea shooter at you, somebody, you know, the more you can get the armor of God, the bigger weapon they can get. It might knock you down a little bit, but you just get, whoop, 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 and just shake it off, and you just get back going, "Bless God, after having done all to stand, I'm going to stand, therefore." Amen. Somebody say, "Praise the Lord." Where was I at anyway here? The sixth thing, do you find 2 Corinthians chapter 6? No, it's the fifth one, right? Oh, you're going to like this one. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. Here we go. I'll get there. You ready? And somebody said, no. See, look. This is, I almost titled the message, Oops, This Is Me List. But I thought that might be too personal. So look down the row. Look down the row and say, he's not talking about you. Okay. There you go. See, everybody gets shot at, right? I said, everybody gets shot at. Yeah. And it don't matter what kind of bullets are in there. If we got an armor plate on, it ain't going to penetrate. Amen. Well, here's number five. It says in verse 14, it says, do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what accord has Christ with Belial? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God. They shall be my people. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you, and I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Now here's the fifth sign of somebody who is spiritually weak, is they start hanging around the wrong people. Now what'd y'all get quiet again for? They start hanging around unbelievers, reverting back to what they come from and what they came out of. And if they don't have an unbeliever to hang around, they'll hunt. If they can't find an unbeliever, they'll hang around those that are just as spiritually weak as they are. Mm-hmm. And you revert back to your old habits, your old tricks. You start listening to that music that you got weaned from for a while. Hello? You start looking at those programs that you know you used to look at, but you stopped looking at, but now you're looking at them again. Uh-huh. So, you know, maybe we need to sugarcoat this message. Well, you know, there's some people that love to stay at home, but you are the people that love to come to church. Oh, hallelujah. Now, so we could sugarcoat it, and I could have you laughing and yelling. Yeah. But that ain't helping us, right? You know that you're spiritually weak because these things, listen to me, they don't just happen overnight. It's a gradual process. It's like boiling the frog in the hot water. Amen. You put him in the pan with the cold water, he'll stay in there. You gradually turn up the heat, he'll boil to death. Are you with me? It don't just gradually happen overnight. It's just things that you start letting slip. That's what it's called. That's why it's called backsliding. You start going in reverse, getting away from the things that you know is right to do in the Word. You leave your first love. Are you with me? Okay. So that fifth thing is that you start hanging around either weak people spiritually, or you start hanging around unbelievers, which is even worse. But the Bible teaches us that iron sharpens iron. Amen? Amen. I said amen. And here's the sixth one. And first, go back to 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Just give me a couple more minutes here to give you all these things. 1 Thessalonians, back where we were, right there before the book of Timothy, 1 Thessalonians 5. Now look at verse 18. It says, in everything, now look, are you with me? It says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Now, here's the sixth thing. You will know a person is weak spiritually when they stop praising God. Do you ever see anybody come to church and you look around and, you know, it could be wild music. It could be some foot stomping, clapping, and, you know, shouting. And you just see people, you know, like, when is this thing going to be over? Amen. Hello? A sign of a person that is weak spiritually has no praise for God. They've let that praise go. Now, the Bible tells us that we are created to praise God. Praise is an expression of our faith in God. A person that has lost confidence in God is not going to be praising God. But you see, we need to be around people that are praising God. Here's a side symptom for some that are spiritually weak, is that maybe they can praise God in church, but that's the only place they can praise Him. Let me go this side. We're supposed to praise God all the time. Hallelujah. Praise Him in the store. Praise Him, you know, when you pull into that Stripe station, up another 10, praise God. Hallelujah. Why? My God will supply all my need. Are you with me? And then look at the verse just above, because that's the sixth thing. Now, here's the seventh thing. I'm going to tell you, I was going to give you seven. Okay. What's the first word in verse 16? 1 Thessalonians 5:16. What? Come on, say it with me. What does rejoice mean? Well, rejoice and giving thanks are similar, but they're not exactly the same. See, giving thanks is giving thanks for what God has done and what God will do. Giving thanks, again, is an expression of my faith, because I just know God's going to do it. But rejoicing is a little different, because it's a response to something that has been done. In other words, if I came up to you, well, let's don't use me because I don't have that much. Let's just say Bill Gates, he's retired and he's into charity work now. Amen. And he came up to you and he said, Angel, I just find you as an upstanding, fine citizen of the community, and I see what you're doing, and I just felt led to give you a check for $15 million from Microsoft. Would you receive that?
Yes, sir. I'll take more.
Yeah. 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 You. Yes, sir. Thank you. No. Somebody that you knew that had it came up to you and said, here's a check, no strings attached. Here's $15 million, and it's for you. You're going to say, thank you, sir. I don't think so. I think you go, woo! 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 Ah! Woo! Ah! I mean, you're gonna come on zip, you're gonna come on glue. But can you do it in the little things? See, spot, you know, I can't close on the negative. So how, let me wrap it up, how do you become spiritually strong? You gotta make sure you expose yourself to more of the Word of God. And come to church. Not just on Sundays. We have church on Wednesdays. Been pretty good lately. Get your confidence up in the Word of God. Get in the Word daily for yourself. Because you need a word for today. Pray daily for direction for your life. So when you come up against some devils, you've already got some solutions. You need to pray corporately. You know why? I said, you know why? Because it brings your life into a discipline. Isn't that what disciples, the root word of disciples is discipline? Why do we come here on Monday night to pray? Because we discipline ourselves to come up here corporately. Okay. Start praising God for who He is. That's number six. Number seven is start rejoicing because you know the outcome of what is going to happen before you ever see it. Amen. And number eight, I'll give you an extra one here. Get with believers who will help lift you up when you start negative and being critical, and those who will correct you and tell you the truth in love. Come here just a second, Brother Marvin. Come here. I want you to put on your depressed, sad, down. Oh, no! I want you to put on that. Oh, come on.
Okay. Come on. That's hard for me, Pastor.
Keep that. Oh man, the whole world's on my show. Oh man, everything piling up. Man, I got. Oh, I can't. There we go. Now let me tell you what he doesn't need. He doesn't need a brother or a pastor coming and say, "Oh, I know what you're going through, brother. I'm going through the same thing myself. I don't know how. I don't know. Oh, and you just start, boy, you just start getting so low. You know, like that elephant can sit on the edge of a piece of toilet paper and swing his leg. You're so low. No, when you see somebody down, you need somebody to say, "Hey, how you doing?" "Well, I don't know." Let me tell you what God says. Yeah, let me tell you that God be for you, who can be against you? Amen. Bible says, lift up your hands and shake off and get back into the praise of God. For God is with you. And if God is with you, then no man can be against you. I'm telling you, we can do it. Lift up their hands together. Iron sharpens iron. Come on, stand up. Stand up. Stand up. Grab somebody. Grab somebody by the hand and lift up the hand of the feeble. Lift up the hand of the weak. Come on. You tell them, look, whatever you're going through, you are just going through. Bless God. Yea, though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Now, isn't that better than just sitting around saying, "Well, you know what they said on the 6 o'clock news? They said, man, the prices are going to go up and they're going to continue to go up for two more years. I just don't know what we're going to do." Oh, man. That's like saying, "Sick them to a hound dog." Say, "I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to trust in the Lord. I'm not going to lean to my own natural mind, understand?" If I could, I'd go over and slap them oil producers upside the head. I'd even go slap some of them liberal politicians. But how many know? Oh man, I forget we're being watched. Well, let me tell you something. You will be able to slap some of them come this election. Yeah, you will. Amen. Oh, praise the Lord. That's why we need the Spirit. We need the Word. We need the prayer. We need church. If you receive the prophet in the name of the prophet, you'll receive the prophet's reward. Amen. No chastening is pleasant at the time. How many of you like to be spanked? No. How many of you like to be corrected? We don't like it, but we've learned that if we allow it, then we understand God loves us. And it says if we endure it. I went to that principal's office so many times. He didn't use the regular pad. He used the one with those little holes in it. And then when I laughed at that, then he'd say, okay, now I want you to start stretching that thing out. You know what that means. You go down and grab your ankles. See, the devil knows how to make it hurt. But we've got something greater on the inside of us. Amen. And not only do we have something great on the inside, we've got people of like precious faith. And we can hold each other up, gird each other in prayer, and speak a word into their life by the Spirit and the unction of the Holy Spirit. Are you with me? So let's bow our heads and let's pray this morning. Thank you, Jesus.